Welcome, everyone. This is David Olive. I'd like to open our January 26th call with the SOAC, SGC, and RALO chairs and the ICANN senior management. We thank you for taking the time to join this call. And I would like to just point out the standard practice is to have this call recorded and transcribed so that you are able to share the information with others in your groups. And I would just like to go over the agenda to see that there is agreement. I'm going to basically note some of our new incoming chairs as a part of the welcome. We will also then have some time for Fadi to talk about the status of the IANA transition matters and other discussions. We will then also focus on ICANN 55 programming in Marrakesh, and then to go back to our earlier work program to update people, including some of the new leaders, on our community work streams, basically the stakeholder journey, the work inventory matrix, and the document production pilot, if then any other business. If I see no objections from others, I would like to proceed with that agenda topic, if I may. Very good. Thank you. In terms of welcoming incoming new chairs, we have a few people who are joining this call for the first time, and I'd like to just point out that James Bledel is now the chair of the GNSO Council. Brad Baird is joining as co-chair of the RSAC. Tapani Kavarnan is joining as chair of the non-commercial stakeholder group, the NCSG. Paul Diaz is joining as chair of the registry stakeholder group. He has asked that Stefan Van Gelder step in today for him since he was unable because of a conflict. Also new is Christopher Wilson, the new chair of the Commercial Business Users constituency. And then a few other familiar faces. Rafik Danmark has taken Bill Drake's place as the NCUC chair. Olivier Crepin-LeBlanc has taken Wolf's place as the chair of the URALO. And Glenn McKnight has assumed the chair of the North American Regional At-Large Organization, and now RALO, taking Garth's place. In addition to these groups, on our numbers side, Louis Lee remains and was reelected as chairman of the ASO AC. And as the NRO rotates the chairs, we welcome Oscar Robles as now chair of this year chair of the NRO from the Latin American and Caribbean Internet Addresses Registry. So I just wanted to draw this to your attention, and we have a guide that will be available on our SOAC links, and I'll send those to you as well, pictures of all the new chairs and existing chairs so that you can have that for your references, and we'll make those available, obviously, online that you can download. With that, I would just, again, welcome the new chairs and also others, and now move on to the next item on the agenda, allowing Fadi to make some comments. Fadi, the floor is yours.
Thank you, David. Thank you, everyone, for joining this call at whatever time you're in. I'm happy to be with you today and to share with you some thoughts, probably before we get to Marrakesh. That may be my last time to have a chance to chat with you. If I could first ask those who are not speaking to go on mute, there's quite a bit of background noise. I would appreciate it. So first, let me just say that at ICANN, we are continuing to be very focused on the business at hand, day in, day out. I am going to share with you a little bit what's on my plate, as I am now really looking at the last few weeks of my tenure with my date of departure on March 12th, now firm. Basically, my time is now consumed by completing the framework for a budget for FY17, the year that starts in July 2016 and ends in June 2017. We have one last two-day meeting, in fact, later this week in Singapore, to finalize the framework for that budget. And this is extremely important, as you know, because this is the second year we now completely base the budget on the five-year operating plan, which comes from the strategy that you all helped us establish, the five-year strategy. So this whole planning cycle is in full motion now, and we are on time this year, which is delightful, and we will wrap up at least the high-level part of the framework internally this week, so that then the teams can start building the various details and deliver to you and the community very quickly in the next couple of months. So that's an area of great focus, and I want to share with you that at a high level, I continue to push very hard to curb the growth in expenditures. And if you recall, I have committed to you that over 5 years we will level these back to a much flatter curve, and we are very much on track to do that. Frankly, we see a palpable jump on the top line, on the revenue side, but I have directed our teams to not consider that whilst we are continuing to manage the expense line. In other words, if the revenue bump comes and continues to be visible, as it will be in 2017 based on our expectations, that should not affect in any way how we continue to manage our expenses, and I'm not taking it into consideration as we build the FY17 budget. Again, you will see a lot of details on that in the weeks ahead, but at least I'm almost done internally with shaping the size and the frame, and the based on the priorities that you gave us in the operating plan and the strategy. Another area I'm very focused on right now is to complete the KPI dashboards. As you recall, in the last ICANN meeting, I showed you the first version of that, and this is the very, very last bit of our planning model that we established. As you recall, starting with the strategy and then the operating plan and then the budget and then the reporting bit, which is what the quarterly stakeholder calls as well as the KPI dashboards do. And this, I really would like to have at least this finished as a version one before I depart. So we showed you the beta of the KPI dashboards, and I'm now almost finishing the stage of kind of bringing these from a beta level to a level that I'm more comfortable with. This is difficult work because we are basing all of these on the strategic plan and the operating plan and the goals and the objectives that you've given us. This way, all of you and all of the world can track the performance of ICANN based on the direction you gave us in a very visible way. And that's what I'm hoping to complete before I depart. Of course, this is ongoing work, but I certainly would like to get it to a V1 level that is comfortable. So that's my internal couple of projects I'm working on. In addition, of course, I'm paying quite a bit of attention to our two transitions, the transition to independence from the current stewardship of the U.S. government. I think if I speak too long about this, David, there will be a riot on this call. People are overexposed to transition material, but I am working very hard with my team in the background to support the community in finishing that work. I think all of you know that we are in a we're in a precarious timeline issue. We all want this done right because this will shape our future, but at the same time we are all aware that there are some pressures that are around us in the context of this. My job, frankly, in the background has been mostly to relieve the community from those pressures, from removing those pressures as best we can so that the community can continue finishing its work in a tunnel that will get us out on the other end soon. It is imperative that we don't lose sight of the importance of us delivering the proposal to the American government. Short of delivering that proposal, it is our community, it is our multi-stakeholder model, it is us who will be blamed for not finishing this work. So it is very important that we finish and deliver this proposal, and hopefully in the days, we're now counting days, not months anymore, and hopefully we can, in the span of the next days, in early February, deliver the proposal to Larry Strickland. This is extremely important and will give us a huge relief as a community, because then really it becomes the job of the U.S. government to get this done. We would have finished the work of the multi-stakeholder community. And we're working very hard in the background to ensure those pressures are left aside. I'm happy to share with you that I went to Washington, spent quite a bit of time with business leaders and government leaders. I also just came back from Switzerland, where I met many business leaders. There is a remarkable movement towards supporting the transition across the board. I had chances to meet with AT&T, with Verizon, with Cisco, with Intel, with Microsoft, with HP, company after company. And in fact, thanks to Chris Mondini's efforts in Washington, we are putting now together a letter that will be signed by many of these businesses together supporting the transition, so that there is a visible public support to the transition. We're preparing all of that ahead of the delivery of the proposal to Larry Strickling. I've also met with government leaders. I met with people on the Clinton campaign, people on various campaigns, so that we can make sure that the political environment is also not disturbing the progress towards our independence. So all of this is good, and you know, I can answer questions later on that. The second transition I'm also working on is, of course, the transition to my successor. And that has two components to it. One, there is the actual work to get the person on board, which is still ongoing as we speak intensely. And there is the second bit of making sure that our team, our staff, you in some way, all of us, are comfortable and, we are supportive of the process and calm as this process happens. It's very important to appreciate that staffers, employees of the ICANN organization are going themselves through a transition. You know, they're watching me leave, but they still don't know who is my successor. So there is a little bit of normal angst. So I'm spending quite a bit of time with my teams, with all the employees as best as I can, walking the floors, spending time with them to give everyone the comfort that there is great continuity and it's coming. And I committed to my team and to the board that if the new CEO needs me in any way to support him or her or come back and spend time either for the transition in Washington or to share my trust with the employees, with him or her, I'm happy to do it in any way. So I'm very aware of the anxiety that happens with leadership change, and I'm committed and I'm staying very close to the employees at this stage. I want to give you that assurance on this front. Working on Marrakesh, I don't want to talk much about that. There's quite a bit of work. I'm really excited about heading to Marrakesh. Yesterday morning, I spoke to the Minister of the Digital Economy in Morocco, Minister El Alami. Great support, superbly prepared for us. And I'll let my colleague Nick Tomasso in a moment speak to you more about this, but Aziz, we are just all, I at least speak for myself and my team, we are just all ready and excited to come visit your beautiful country and to actually have a very substantive meeting looking at the agenda, and hopefully a meeting when we would have delivered the proposal to Larry Strickling so that we can at least celebrate the success of our multi-stakeholder model. Last thing I'm working on, which is delicate, The board asked me, the board, as you know, is having its normal retreat, which happens at the beginning of the year in Singapore. That is early next week. I'm going to Singapore just a couple of days earlier to meet with the global leaders, the top management of ICANN. So we're going to spend 2 days together, and then the board will come for 3 days. During the board retreat, I was asked to make one presentation that I think is very crucial. It's a presentation on the decision-making within ICANN and how the decision-making will shift after the CCWG accountability improvements will be put in place. And this is an important dialogue and an important discussion because, as you know, decision-making at ICANN really is rooted with you, with the community, and the community empowerment activities that are coming will only strengthen that. So, and in a good way, in a very positive way that, frankly, I personally welcome with open arms, and I think will make ICANN a far better organization. So as these community empowerment things come in place, the board asked me to do some thinking as to how the decision-making at ICANN will change between the community, the board, and the staff. So I'm working on that a little bit, and I'm basically deciding that the Ralos should make all decisions moving forward. I'm just kidding. I'm kind of moving around this and trying to see where we go from here. That's it. Now, most presidents, when they leave, they do a few pardons. So if you have any ideas on whom should I pardon on the staff, let me know. But I'm very excited about these last few weeks, and I'm as energetic as I've always been, and I'm really, really looking forward to a very smooth transition, to a very calm handoff, and to making sure that the hard work we all did together for the last 4 years is a good foundation for the future of this great organization and this great team. So I remain with you, and I remain very committed till the last minute for the work that you have entrusted me with. David, I give it back to you. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Fadi, for your remarks and updates. Are there any questions? If you please either indicate with the hand raised in the chat or let me know on the phone, and we're happy to recognize you.
Hi, David. It's Byron. Unfortunately, I'm only on the phone, so I can't put my hand up in the chat.
Byron, you're first. Please go ahead.
Just two questions for Fadi. One is his take on the seemingly growing concerns, security concerns regarding Morocco overall, and what impact that's having on planning. And the second is, when can we expect an announcement from ICANN regarding identifying the new CEO? Thank you.
Thank you, Byron. Thank you very much. We are not at the moment seeing any increase in the security risk as it relates to Morocco. We have regular updates from security experts, both on an independent global level as well as in various government agencies. We are also in touch with the independent people who are experts at looking at risks around the world. And I'll let my colleague Nick Tommaso walk you through some of that later. But at the moment, I want to confirm, as of even the most accurate reviews yesterday, at about 24 hours ago, we had a security review. There is no increase in the risk level in Morocco. Now, Nick, please address that in any more detail as you wish, but I want to say the following. The reality is that the risk on a global level is now there in any place almost I mean, San Bernardino, for God's sake, that it is not an issue that is attached to an area anymore. And therefore, we, as ICANN, are upping our security management and risk management in a very serious way, regardless, not just for Morocco, but for every meeting we're going to have moving forward. And again, I'll let Nick speak to that. There is quite a bit of preparations going in that regard, things that you have not seen even in prior ICANN meetings. There will be now verifications of identity when people arrive to register, etc. So all kinds of things are being put in place for every meeting moving forward. So I'll leave that to Nick in a moment. When he comes back, Byron, he'll give a review, and if you have further questions, please do address them to him. He's our expert. But I'm giving you the, frankly, the view after having reviewed multiple security matters over the last few weeks with my team and with external experts, that we are steady and there is no alarm at the moment in any way, and plan is going forward to be there. In terms of the second question, I wish I could tell you. We are managing this now on a day-by-day basis, and the board is very engaged in this activity of finding my successor in a very serious way. There's, again, no alarm, no concern. It is just a process, and the process is moving forward quite well. As to when, I'm not involved in the process. I'm not sure if you even know this, but I have recused myself from the selection process of the next CEO in order to give our board the comfort to, you know, make that choice, the choice of the person they will work with on their own. So I have not been part of the process. I have provided the board my input and my views on the next person, but I'm not involved in the process. I haven't even met any of the candidates, so I don't know who is involved. So I will leave the answer to your question to the board. I'm sure you can reach out to Steve and team and George and find that out from them. But my hope is that what I can tell you and what I do know is that the process is moving quite well, and that we're not months away or, weeks away, very few weeks away from having that be settled.
Thank you, Fadi. James, you're next, and after that, Greg. James.
Hi, thanks, David. Thanks, Fadi. James speaking, and hopefully you can hear me okay. Just a quick question regarding CEO succession. Fadi, when you came on board early, if I recall, back in Prague, you went around to the different areas of the community and kind of met with folks individually and in groups. And is there some plans for something similar, either in Marrakesh or shortly thereafter, something perhaps to formalize that process? Do you envision something similar occurring with the next CEO? Perhaps this is directed more towards David and some of the executive staff, because you probably already have one foot out the door. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, James, and welcome on board, by the way. Delighted you're with us in this new role. The answer to your question is yes, this is being planned. One of the things I did with my team is I put together for the board's private...
Hello?
Can you hear me now? Are you able to hear me now? David?
Yes, we can hear you, Fadi.
Oh, sorry about that. Okay, I just heard someone say hello. I wasn't sure. I was just saying we put together for the board pleasure a CEO... kind of welcome and induction book that has, from my experience and how it worked for me and what worked for me, a complete plan for how to help this person come on board and be successful. We shared that with the board, and that is obviously up to the board how they plan to use this. But in that proposal, we have clearly said that what you suggested must happen early on with the new CEO, that he or she should take the time and meet with you and spend time with you and understand you. I must say, James, that I don't know how to put this delicately, but anyway, I don't need to be delicate anymore. I must tell you, the hardest thing for me to understand and learn when I came on board was precisely that balance between the decision-making between the community, the board, and the staff. It was very hard for me to understand. And people may have explained it to me, but I only understood it by making mistakes and hitting some walls. So one of the reasons I'm focused on this is to actually, right from the start, do my best to explain and help the new person appreciate that balance, to embrace it, to respect it, and to hopefully make less mistakes than I did.
Thank you very much, Fadi. We'll try to get back with James on that because of the audio loss. Greg Schaffin, you are next. After that, then Stefan and Alan Greenberg. Greg?
Thank you, Greg Schaffin. Good morning, afternoon, and evening tonight. Just going back to the issue of Marrakesh for the moment, there's been quite a lot of discussion on the IPC's mailing list about the safety and security reasons, safety and security issues. We've had several members already cancel their plans for safety and security reasons, and a number of others who are having second thoughts on the issue and have very strong kind of negative feeling about going under the circumstances. And we have some members who are not so concerned. I don't want to think that this is anything, universal in the group, but just in the last 24, 48 hours, I've had two members of our leadership team bail out. I wanted to communicate that level of concern. I've polled the members. The poll only went out last night. I have 16 responses, and I'm basing this on both those responses and other emails on our list. And I'm not sure what is happening in other groups or constituencies, but that is kind of the mood in the IPC. Some of this is driven by a post on a blog called Domain Mondo. That as well. Thanks.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you very much for sharing the views of some of your members that we respect in every way. And look, I think this, Greg, from I'm sure personal experience. I cannot, nor can any of us, address personal fears and concerns of people. I think all we can do is focus on the facts, and as the facts come from professionals who are not just evaluating, frankly, a video, they're evaluating a large number of input points, as you know, into a security grid. And we are not doing this ourselves. We are using third-party firms that manage risks for major corporations and organizations around the world. And right now, all I can tell you is that the facts on the ground do not bear any change in security concerns for us. But then again, really, it's up to each person how they evaluate this and what they decide, and we fully respect those who have their own opinions or personal fears. But there is nothing really that bears right now for us to change our security assessment on the ground. That's frankly the reality of where things are. And we are continuing to monitor that. We're managing that. And as I said, what we're doing is, I instructed the team, is not for Morocco. What we're doing is for every ICANN meeting for the foreseeable future. We're strengthening our posture and our security measures in general, not just for Morocco, but for every meeting moving forward. We are conscious of your safety, of your security, and you can be assured that at least the staff at ICANN is not wasting a moment or, frankly, an expense in order to ensure that we have not only heightened measures to ensure your safety and the safety of our delegates, but also very sophisticated planning on any unforeseen issues that could occur on the ground. And we are applying these methods not just for Marrakesh, we're also applying them for other locations. Finally, I'll just tell you that immediately surrounding our meeting, there's a global meeting for the International Labor Organization that includes some of the largest companies in the world and the largest and governments from around the world. This is a Geneva organization that is holding the meeting there. There will be many heads of state and ministers and CEOs, and we have also communicated with them to understand their assessments and to compare to ours, and they're on board. They are like us, conveying that there's no change in the security. So I'll leave it at that, Greg, and I'll let my colleague Nick add to this in any way that would help give you the information you need.
Thank you. Stefan, you're next, and then Alan Greenberg. Stefan, speaking to the registered group.
Yeah. Thanks, David. Indeed, this is Stefan Van Gelder standing in for Paul Diaz. I'm Vice Chair of the Registry Stakeholder Group. Paul couldn't make the call today, and he sends his apologies. Just building on from the point and the question and the conversation that Greg and Fadi have just had, not a question but a suggestion, because we are also seeing some late defections, as it were, people saying they won't be traveling to Morocco because of these latest security alerts, and actually seeing this on the NOMCOM as well, which is another group that I'm involved in. I think it might be worthwhile for someone, be it Fadi or someone that has security expertise at ICANN, to do a public post reassuring people that Morocco is going to happen, that it is being looked after security-wise very carefully. And if there are indeed new developments in the security front, perhaps it might be worthwhile pointing those out as well, so that people can have something very public and reassuring to point to, bearing in mind that often problems are not individual community members' fear of traveling, but their employers deciding that it is not safe to travel and refusing them the right to travel. So that might help allay some fears. Thanks.
Thank you, Stefan, and I think Nick may also address this shortly. Alan Greenberg.
Thank you very much. I'll stay on the security thing for one point and then another one. There was a reference someone made, I don't remember exactly when, to security will be comparable to what you see at an IGF. I do request that we not be surprised, as the IGF has at times, be surprised that a lot of people are going to show up at the same time and want to get in. Security is important, but having people wait an hour to get in because the security lineups can't handle the load is an issue also. So please, I hope there will be sufficient planning for that. With regard to planning and the new CEO, if you're stepping down on the 12th, I'm presuming the new CEO will be at Marrakesh, and that will be the opportunity that many of us have to meet him or her and have our first interactions. I ask that you start doing, not you, Fadi, but David and his team, start doing some preparation and arranging schedules. The way this is often done, has been done in the past, is we get executive orders that we, we're going to be talking to the new CEO or to whoever the person is at such and such a time, completely ignoring the fact that we actually all have busy agendas and plans for much of the time already committed. So if we're going to be pulled out of meetings, can we try to do it, arrange it ahead of time and with some flexibility to make sure that our own schedules aren't completely disrupted by the process? Thank you.
I think that's a great idea, David. We should. There is a whole team of people. Cassie is managing also the new person's schedule. Why don't we start now, as opposed to the pain I may have caused to all of you in both Prague and Toronto? Let's plan this better this time, and I will do my best to also help the new person get to the right meetings and. Along with the staff, I'll do my part, Alan, to make sure that happens. Although a lot of his schedule and a lot of his planning, to be frank, is right now in the hands of the board team and the board support team. But I will take your point and take it to them.
Yes, indeed, and we would hope that were that possible, that at the SOAC informal round table, that would be another opportunity for the group per se to say hello and meet new person and move on in individual appointments as well. So thank you. Michele.
Thanks. Michele, still harping on about the same topic from a slightly different angle. And this is more to... Probably more to Nick, so, Fadi, you're off the hook. If there are going to be any changes to the location of the Marrakesh meeting, which I hope there aren't, I would hope that we can have some assurances that any changes are not going to be left until the last minute, because a lot of us have already booked flights and have other schedules and travel plans that we have to change. Like, speaking from the registrar stakeholder perspective, we have a certain number of members who won't be attending the Marrakesh meeting, but we have a certain number of members who don't attend all meetings anyway. I mean, based on what we've seen, there's about 25 people will be attending in person, probably another 10 or 12 who will be attending remotely. Speaking as somebody based in Ireland, Marrakesh is not something that I would be particularly worried about. I was in Istanbul last week, like 48 hours after a bomb or something went off in some part of Istanbul. It's a big city. Who cares? I mean, I'm Irish. I was brought up in a country where there were plenty of bombs and plenty of other things, and it never impacted my day-to-day life. So, I'm not going to get into the ins and outs of whether people are comfortable or not about traveling, but what I would ask is if there's going to be any changes to anything, for whatever reason, that they be decided within the next week or two, because otherwise making changes to flights and other plans is going to be incredibly hard for people. Thanks.
Nick, I'll let you chime in, but let me just be clear. There are no plans right now to change from Marrakesh. Marrakesh on the security level compared to cities where we could hold a meeting this size is actually on the low side. So there is no place we can even think of right now that, let's say, quote-unquote, is less of a safety issue. The problem we are dealing with is global now. It is not a problem. In fact, some security analysts say it is a bigger problem in Western capitals and cities right now. So I don't think we should be right now planning a change. We are not, and we have no indication at this stage of any reason to change the location of the meeting. If a security assessment by independent experts leads us to think otherwise, we will then assess that. But right now, all plans are forward for us to head to Marrakesh. There is no planning otherwise. And there is no concern in particular that makes us really even move towards a backup plan. Nick, why don't you chime in, since most of the questions are really directed at you, and I'm not the security expert, you really are, and you're dealing with them more than me directly. Maybe you can give people just a sense of what you're hearing.
If that's a good idea, maybe we should just move to that part of the agenda and let Nick lead off.
Yes, please.
Well, yes, I'm here, and thank you all. I'm very pleased to have an opportunity to tell you about our activities in Marrakesh. But first, let me confirm what Fadi has just said. We have no intention at this point in time of switching locations. The risk landscape around the world has changed considerably. And picking a city or a location that can be guaranteed as safe is next to impossible. So with that in mind, since ICANN moves around the world at the minimum of 3 times a year, the protocols we're establishing for Marrakesh are the protocols that we're going to be using at all meetings moving forward. That said, let me take you through some of the basics. Data is a very important factor in our considerations. And as we develop our security planning for the ICANN meeting in Marrakesh and moving forward, we start with an in-depth look at the factors we need to consider. We're working with a very well-known security consulting firm by the name of Control Risk to provide the detailed information we need to make good decisions and good judgment. We've asked Control Risk to provide 2 types of data on an ongoing basis. And when I say ongoing, I really mean daily if we need it. If we see something that's a concern to us, we can engage with them at a moment's notice. The 2 types of data we've asked them to give us is a risk assessment of terrorism and crime in a city, country, or particularly our meeting venue. And the assessment that they provide is based on a variety of data points from multiple sources. It is not just their opinions. It's opinions based on fact. And the second thing we've asked Control Risk to do is to monitor social media for any indications of ICANN being considered a target for terrorist activity. I want to assure you that as recently as yesterday morning, I had a briefing with 5 experts in Northern Africa security, and all 5 of them assured me that the risk profile in Marrakesh has not changed, and the risk profile for terrorist activity is low. The government of Morocco has a very robust intelligence infrastructure. They've been providing information to France and Belgium to thwart some terrorist activities that were being planned there. And because of that intelligence and the ability to contain those types of activities, they really are quite a safe country to go to. So the risk assessment for the threat of terrorist activity in Morocco remains low. There is a risk of crime outside the meeting venue, but not anything that you wouldn't find in any other large city you might be going to, and we are taking steps to reduce the risk for our delegates as they move around the city, perhaps the market, et cetera. The other important factor that I mentioned is social media monitoring. And they have not identified any signs of terrorist activity being planned against ICANN or our conference venue, or Marrakesh or Morocco for that matter. As recently as yesterday, we added some new key phrases to our search to make sure that the recent videos that were released are captured in our thinking as we look at the chatter about social media about ICANN and about Morocco. Collaboration is extremely important, of course, and we're collaborating with the National Government Security, regional law enforcement, and hotel security to develop a comprehensive security plan for the meeting. So what is that? We're going to have hotel perimeter surveillance and guarding. The Palmeray Resort is a self-contained resort surrounded by walls, and we'll have surveillance there to make sure that we don't have any intruders. We'll have venue access control with vehicles being searched on their way into the venue. Alan, I understand your point about security entering the conference venues, facilities, but we will have metal detectors, magic wands, and bag checks for people entering the conference facilities. Right now we have 6 of those available to us that will deploy at the convention center. The Moroccan government, and this is the first time ever, by the way, the Moroccan government is verifying our registration database pre-event to make sure that no one who is a known problem has registered for the meeting. At registration, this is also a departure from the normal, every delegate will need to show a government-issued ID to pick up a conference badge at registration. And when we have registration on site, again, they must have a government-issued ID, and those on-site registrations will be monitored real-time by Moroccan government officials to make sure that someone isn't wandering into our conference with bad intentions. Every delegate will be given a wallet-size emergency card with assistance line numbers clearly printed. And we are setting up an operations center at the venue with an assistance line providing 24 hours a day, 7-day support of both English and French. This operations center will also be used for intelligence consolidation and distribution. It'll be our main location for incident response coordination. And we're also going to be providing security at off-site events, so much so that we'll have advanced teams going out to those off-site venues before our delegates arrive to make sure that everything is as it should be. On-site, we'll have a doctor, an EMT, and an ambulance available 24 hours a day. We'll have paramedics that will be mobile who can move out to anyone who needs assistance from our group. And we're going to have the equipment, AEDs, in particular defibrillators, which we have not had at ICANN meetings before, but we thought as we ramped up all of our security and safety procedures that we'd add that to our inventory of gear that we carry around the world with us. We've retained a senior manager from Control Risk to coordinate all of these activities for us, working very closely with ICANN staff, and with government security officials, as well as our colleague in Marrakesh, Aziz Hilali, who has been an integral part of our coordination with the government in Morocco. Chris is an expert in event security. He's most recently worked with these on activities at the World Cup in Brazil. I'm pleased to say that on February 8th, a number of our team from ICANN, both from the security and logistics side, will be meeting with the National Planning Committee that's been established in Morocco to look after our conference, our delegates, and the logistics for the meeting. We'll be doing that in Rabat on February 8th, and then we'll move off February 9th and 10th to meet with local security law enforcement officials in Marrakesh. So I think you might agree that this is a very robust plan. it is the first time that we've had such a centralized coordination of activities around an ICANN meeting. And as Fadi said, this is not a Marrakesh-specific activity. The world landscape has changed, and we have to respond to it in a thoughtful and thorough way, and that's what we're doing in Morocco. I'd be happy to take any questions you may have.
Thank you, Nick. Any questions for Nick, even though we've gone through and we appreciate the details you've provided? Either hands in the room or on the phone?
David, I'll just mention, this is Fadi, reassure everyone, we are doing everything we can. I want you to know that, as Nick said, this is now modus operandi for us moving forward. This has nothing to do, frankly, with the location. This is what any organization that holds global meetings now needs to be going through, and we're using world-class support and help and team to do everything we can. Your safety and your security are very critical to our team and to our staff. I want you to be reassured we're not sparing anything to do our part. One part Nick didn't mention, but it's also part of the program, is a complete crisis management also plan that is in place. God forbid there is any crisis, we are prepared for it. We have planning and scenario planning for that also in place. Again, just wanted to thank you, Nick, and your team for the great work you've done to assure the safety of our delegates and our community members. And I've seen these plans in different companies that I've worked at, and I must tell you, the work and the commitment of Nick and his team is very reassuring, and I hope I pass this on to you.
Well, thank you, Fadi. The delegate security is certainly at the top of our list of priorities.
Thank you very much, Fadi and Nick, for that information and those details. And obviously, we're going to be monitoring that, as Nick had mentioned, and truly share information with you as we learn. With that, I'd like to go on to the second part of that ICANN 55 programming discussion to highlight three areas for you that involve the leadership that are on this call. And in particular, the chairs of the supporting organizations and advisory committees have received a note from Steve Crocker that talks about the Monday sessions. This again is the new meeting strategy. This is the beginning of the new meeting strategy, meeting A as it's called. And with that, there are two public forums, one at the beginning of the session on Monday, the 7th of March in the afternoon, and then another in the Thursday on the 10th. And in Steve Crocker's note to the leaders, the SOAC chairs, they mentioned that they would like you to have some brief summaries of each of you on the activity. And to that extent, we have Brad White, who has been working with us to make sure that those sessions go smoothly. Brad, would you have any other comments? We just wanted to draw that to your attention, and we have obviously, the policy team will be able, and others will be able to help you, chairs, to prepare those remarks. But be aware to program yourself for Monday afternoon. Brad?
Thank you, David. I think you gave a very good overview. The bottom line here, I think in conversations with Crocker and the board, I think what they're looking for in the Monday public forum are very tight, five-minute briefings. Steve is very, very concerned that these be understandable. The public forum traditionally has the most number of attendees after the welcome session. Many of those attendees have never been to an ICANN meeting before, and it is the concern of many that these briefings, if you will, are in plain speak, that they're very understandable even to a first-time attendee at an ICANN meeting. I won't reiterate what Steve said in the note that was distributed to the AC and SO chairs, but I'm happy to answer any questions if anyone has any.
Thank you, Brad. Again, it would be 5 minutes to talk about the top priorities of your supporting organization or advisory council as they proceed to the work at ICANN 55. Are there any questions? Michele Nyland. Michele.
I'm the only Michele on the call, but thanks. Just in relation to this high interest thing, I mean, from discussions we've had within the registrar community, one of the areas that we would see as being very high priority, first off, no, it shouldn't be IANA, because I think we think that's been covered more than enough over the last few meetings and has been covered more than enough in many other areas. The area which is most concerned to ourselves are who is related activities, because essentially we feel there are too many of them. They're overlapping, they're confusing, they're contradictory, and definitely it's an area which is of interest to newcomers. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Michele. That goes into a second point I'm about to make, but I thank Brad for your explanation, and please, again, take a look at Steve Crocker's note, and we'll be glad to help, my team will be glad to help you in preparing those remarks. The second part of that is a note I sent around to you, and again, it's been a flurry of activities, I understand, is that traditionally we have looked to have a high-interest topic for Monday, but again, we were looking at much of the transition accountability work not to be continuing as a big focus in Marrakesh. And so I had given three options. One would be to, again, postpone that opportunity for our next meeting to allow the Monday sessions to move forward, and including these new public forum in the afternoon, or to plan a regular session based on a topic of interest. And Michele talked about one being the who is topic. And so I would just like to have a brief discussion, and we can surely follow this up with an email request as well, as to should we, again, postpone that session for the SOAC leaders to the next meeting, or to plan an alternative, either focusing on IANA or the accountability matters, or something like who is or some other issues. So I will stop there and see if there are any views in that regard. Again, we know that the schedule will be packed. The pressure on people will also be immense. Michele, that was sent last week. I think you were here in Istanbul at the time, but that was sent around to all on this list last week, and I'll resend it at the end of this call. We did receive something from Greg Shaffin, who seemed to be leaning to item one if the other two items were covered. That is to say, we seem to have enough sessions on the accountability and transition and others. Any other comments? If not, I will quickly take this up on the list. But I think we probably want to make sure that it is more simplified for your schedules and programs, noting that you'll also be required in the afternoon. And the third item I just want to bring to your attention in regards to ICANN 55 is we normally have our informal roundtable and dinner with the group here on Friday, the 4th of March, as it's scheduled now. The normal start time is 4:30 to 6:30, followed by the dinner. This was raised in the chat by Alan Greenberg about does this conflict with the CCWG's work. I know they're meeting for most of Friday, but I don't know if it ends earlier or later, and we could try to make sure we check that.
But again, to put that on your calendars, much of the updates and the possibility of meeting the new CEO might be there as well, including some of the other work stream and activities we're planning, both in Marrakesh as a way to exchange information on those hot topics, as well as going forward for the SOAC, SG, and RALO leaders. Does anyone have a notation about how late the CCWG meeting would go, and is that a conflict for most of you? They're planning to end at 5 o'clock. Okay, so we might be able to keep our 4:30 or a little thereafter scheduled. Thank you, Tanzanika. It seems that there will not be I'll kind of adjust that program so there won't be, and we can start at, let's say, 1700 or 5 p.m. Local time. Okay. Thank you very much. And again, please give some thought to additional session you would want for Monday, or whether or not the program is already packed and best to wait on that and allow you to participate more fully in some of the other sessions. And I'll send a note around after this call as well. If there's no other comments or topics on ICANN 55 Marrakesh programming, I'd like to thank Nick for his security update and the logistics and precautions and efforts being taken to make that meeting a success. With that, we have 30 more minutes. I wanted to, again, pick up for those who've been involved with our community work stream discussions and those who may not have been aware of to talk about some of the projects we've been looking at to encourage new participants within our SOs and the ACs, also to better manage and prioritize our work and to help focus the inputs to policy and advice matters. And with that, I'd like to move to the next part of the agenda, which is linking to the stakeholder journey. And I'd like to turn the floor over to Christopher Mondini, who has been leading us on this program and discussion for the past several meetings. Christopher, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, David, and thank you to all of you. Greetings. It's a pleasure to be with you here on this call today. I prepared just a few slides. It's mainly related to our work activities and work status, not the actual findings and substance, and I'll just take 5 minutes or so and conclude with an ask, and the ask is that each of you commit to do some thinking and spend some time on the telephone with us to do a follow-up conversation. So the stakeholder journey is really a framework that we use to address the problem statement, which is on the next slide, and which is about how can we get more ICANN volunteers to be more meaningfully involved? This was raised over a year ago by members of this body, and we've worked in a virtual team staffed with a focus group in the community to address the problem. On the next slide, we are showing just really where a few main concepts. First of all, it's not a funded or a established project. Stakeholder journey is more of a concept, a framework to address these challenges of participation. Stakeholder journey, we decided also, is a concept to address the diversity of the way people participate in ICANN, an open participatory model, and also the diversity of the needs of the talents of the various SOAC and other structures within ICANN. We wanted to bring a banner under which we could unite staff members and community members to work on these issues. And we really look at it as sort of a strategic forward-looking R&D effort, if you will, Again, it was sparked by issues of around volunteer burnout and the need to identify how to not just bring talent to ICANN, but to support them in being active in ICANN's work. It's important for the future sustainability of the organization. And in this current historic mode where ICANN's transition is developing the achievements and how the multi-stakeholder model works, there's a lot more attention and a lot more potential, but also a lot more expectation that it will continue to be robust, put out good policy, serve its purpose, and be accessible to global stakeholders. So the way we work is we have a few members of the policy development team that David leads and Sally Costerton's stakeholder engagement team. We're a virtual joint think tank, if you will. We did have focus groups and early calls with Rudy and Tony Holmes and other people that were on this group earlier when we began. We took that in-house and did a number of additional surveys and gathered more data because we're organized as a joint policy and engagement team because we understand that there's a continuum of participation between those people just learning about ICANN and those people who are in active roles like yourself. So the next slide just shows some of the steps and where we're headed next. We started by doing our homework on the academic and expert information that's available. It turns out there's quite a robust discipline that many of you are likely aware of in the field of community development and the health of volunteer communities. Customer journey is the way the private sector thinks of what we're calling the stakeholder journey, in that it can be tracked, it can be improved upon, and so we've drawn on some of the learnings that global organizations have in this field. And certainly even Stephen Crocker gave me a paper last week via Sally on collaborative and open source communities and some of the challenges that they face. So we really wanted to be very driven by expert information, and then we turn to gathering some data and statistics. We're getting increasingly robust data on how stakeholders and potential stakeholders approach ICANN, whether they stay, whether they get involved. We did some survey results that involved the various structures. We surveyed some staff. We have our case studies and some anecdotal information, but we really wanted to be data-driven. This particular field, however, leads immediately to all of us wanting to come up with fixes. And it's not hard, as many of you have participated in sessions with us, to put up on the whiteboard all of the ways that we might improve the stakeholder experience and the support for volunteers doing ICANN's work. What we try to do is put them into three buckets. They tend to fall into these main areas. One is the tools and the platforms that we can build together, and these include things like the mentorship program, which the Development and Public Responsibility team and Janice will be piloting starting in Marrakesh with help from many of you. Things like a plain language guide to policy issues, which will relate to some of the work that Rob will be reviewing next. The functionality of the ICANN.org profiles, or even some of the profiles or the membership management tools that you're using. These are in the category of tools and platforms, and I'd like to have follow-up calls with each of you to get your thoughts on how to prioritize those. Some of these areas fall into the area of norms and culture. Some are just really unconscious practices that can create barriers. And this stems from a lot of what we learned in the academic information about collaborative open source communities. And finally, there are structural questions. And this, again, relates to things that are within the control of what we do at ICANN meetings and how we organize them. But even within our SOAC structures, how you each individually consider outreach, prioritize it, how you allocate your resources to organize yourselves and to participate. And these are really all worthy of deeper discussion. So I'll conclude by saying that what's coming next is that, assisted by Heidi Ulrich, I will be reaching out to the chairs and vice chairs on this call of these groups with the relevant policy secretariat staff who support you. I ask for an hour of your time. We would like to go through a deck that shows some of the data and the research and the feedback that prioritizes or sets for your prioritization some of the ideas, given that we can't enact all of the good ideas that emerge. And so this is the ask on which I'd like to conclude. Just to expect an immediate follow-up email from me today seeking to schedule some time. I hope, given all your other priorities, that you find this question of importance for the future sustainability of ICANN and seek your help in taking us forward. Thanks.
Thank you, Christopher. Are there any comments or questions? And I do encourage please to take the time to talk with Christopher, because I think this information can be gathered and presented again as an update in our Marrakesh meeting. I think very useful going forward in the areas he's recounted. Any comments? Okay, we'll be working with Christopher from the policy side to work with you to find a convenient time to hear your views and talk about this issue, again, in preparation for a discussion we will also have in Marrakesh on that point. Christopher, thank you very much, and thanks, everyone. To the next part of the agenda is linked to the SOAC activity matrix, an effort to try to map the vast amount of work that you and your communities are doing in ICANN, and also some of the aid that might be in prioritizing workloads among your groups for the various activities. I'd like to turn this over to Rob Hogarth, who's been involved with the inventory matrix and the document production efforts. Again, another pilot project to help the SOs and the ACs in their policy development and advice inputs. Rob, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, David, and thank you, Susie, for posting the slides up there. I'll play around with them so long as I have connectivity. Well, Happy New Year to all of you I have not spoken to yet this year. As David noted, I've got a couple of updates for you today. The reason why I call it support projects is I'm going to be talking, as David noted, briefly about the inventory matrix, and I'd like to also fill you in on some of the document production efforts that we're engaged in. My apologies ahead of time if I don't mute fast enough, if you hear any coughing or sneezing. One of the consequences of being in Istanbul last week, security concerns aside, was I guess spending some time with Mr. Nalon, and as a result I have a raging head cold. But I will do my best to be clear, and I hope I'm coming through clearly so far, David.
Yes, you are.
Great, thank you. Well, the two topics, as I noted, are the inventory work effort matrix and the document production support area. I recognize that we have a number of new faces in this group with the transition from our last call. So I'd like to just give a quick 30 seconds background for some of you who may not be familiar with either of these topics. One of the advantages and I think great benefits of getting you as community leaders together regularly with senior staff is that you can present thoughts and ideas that then staff can immediately move to begin to execute, explore, test, pilot, whatever terminology you'd like to use. The inventory work effort matrix and document production support efforts are two examples of that. And I'll talk about the background of each as I go through the slides here. The inventory work effort matrix was the product of conversations members of your group had with Fadi, David, and others back in the Los Angeles ICANN public meeting. And the germ for all this, the germination, if you will, was the interest in ICANN community leaders prioritizing the work of the community, responding to what a number of you have recognized over the years as challenges presented by potential burnout of community members, the increasing, ever-increasing workload for all of you as well as for members of your community. And at the time, a number of subgroups were created. Christopher just mentioned one of them in the efforts to onboard new community members, and that spawned this stakeholder journey effort. Another was trying to prioritize the work of the community. And one of the challenges that struck the first subgroup that investigated this, and a number of you are still on this call and a part of this group, was the need for a tool. The very first conclusion you all reached was, well, for us to prioritize anything, we need to know what the limitations are. We need to know what the inventory is. And so we've been working hard at trying to come up with a concept that would work, that would be of value, that would be of use to everybody. On this slide, you see just, I mean, it's just purely for color and background. Please don't even try to read this. We came up with an initial Excel spreadsheet format that basically was the result of input from the SOs and ACs to give us an inventory of the work that was created. That arrived to you all with great fanfare. We received a lot of positive feedback on it. But in the back of our minds, and Rafiq, you and others sort of reinforced this for us over time, was that while it was a useful list, it really didn't do what we needed to do to help ultimately take you through the process of potentially prioritizing the work. And so you all gave us a mission back at the Buenos Aires meeting to look much more closely at this and to come up with a better format or a better way to display the information and to provide ways for you to be able to slice and dice it. And so we've come up with a new format that really is more than just a new format. It reflects an evolution of the work. And when I say an evolution, or as this slide indicates, progress slash evolution, the important aspect of that is that we're still working through this. And I don't think collaboratively us as staff or you as community leaders and members of your communities will ever reach a final ideal, but it's something that we really need to move forward and work on. And part of the evolution or progress that I hope you see in the document that David shared with you before this call is that we're now looking at more of a database management approach to this. In other words, having a single database from which we can generate multiple reports. Critical to that is a consistent collection mechanism. And so at least to begin, we went to the community wiki as a resource for us to be able to use to collect specific information about community work efforts. And then try to streamline the snapshot process by having a regular way to connect, not only collect the original data, but then to be able to update it. We also looked, and this is to you, Patrick, an item that you raised on more than one occasion, an effort to streamline the categories. Originally, in the first version of this, we had 10 categories. We've now streamlined it to 8. It's also not perfect, but what we tried to do was to summarize some of the different policy development work into one category, recast some things like community administration to general administration, and otherwise break out other things like strategic initiatives and some of the work of the GDD team in implementation efforts under the DNS marketplace area. This also includes a lot of your work as well that's involved in contract community efforts and stuff like that. We also have made an attempt, and I appreciate the feedback that we're already starting to get, particularly from you, Greg, and from others, as to what we're doing with additional data metrics, you know, to collect and measure. So what you'll see in this version is we've added sponsoring organization, we've added the age of the activity, and we've tried to begin testing participant time measurements. And I use the term participant there particularly because we're not only talking about potentially measuring community time, but also staff time as well. Again, hearkening back to a prioritization effort is really only of value if we're looking at and trying to tease out what the scarcity is, if you will. So the new process, as I noted, is threefold. Essentially, what we're doing under the current version is we collect the information on a wiki template from the staff, and that would be in the future potentially from some of your communities, from some of your community groups. It then gets exported to an Excel spreadsheet for curation. That's so that we can go in and begin to figure out if a number of the drop-down menus in the template have worked well, finding ways to ensure that everyone's filled out all the sections, making sure that we're just double-checking the work that people are doing. And then, depending upon the work product that you all want us to generate, slicing and dicing it in different PDF format reports. Using the Excel spreadsheet, as Greg, in your email back, you noted you can then begin to play around with it. You can do things with different fields. You can compare different types of information. But the final result would be this PDF format report that David shared with you all. The common template is really the key to this, at least originally. We investigated a number of different ways to approach this. Rafiq, you challenged us on that, and we looked at a lot of off-the-shelf products. None of them, of course, seem to be aligned with the uniqueness of the ICANN stakeholder model, with many different stakeholders, with many different types of work efforts and the rest. And so we figured that from an experimental standpoint, the wiki offers us a perfect opportunity to do this. And so it's a common template. My hope is that over time, if some of you choose to do your own entries, and by the way, we intend to have staff do this, you know, your staff liaisons doing this work, and they've done it with us for this testing model. But we'll test this and modify this over time. We already got great feedback from the policy staff about some of the challenges and areas that we've already improved. The important thing about the template itself is that, as I noted earlier, we're trying to collect a good harvest of information here. The light blue stuff at the top is stuff that we originally collected in the first version of this and has aspects of some of the new information that I alluded to earlier. We ask when the effort commenced. Why? Because that helps us in terms of measuring how long it's been going. We ask about relative importance, where it sits in terms of the priorities of your community. We try to identify the type of group, you know, whether it's a leadership council effort, a working group effort, a cross-community group, or something else, because we think that's important. And then additional ways to find out more information, particularly if you're going to be looking at this and you want to understand a little bit better about what another community is doing, having at least the initial link to the work template would be able to give you some useful information about the other group's activities. What we've added here is sort of a plus we've been experimenting with is the volunteer hours. Right now, our proxy for that is community calls and meetings. You know, how many people on how many calls for how many meetings, what does that translate to in a relative sense? And that's something we all may want to experiment with over time. David, I'm hopeful at some time in the near future, once some of the CCWG and other transition efforts die down while things are being reviewed by the U.S. government, is we may be able to bring back some of the subgroup activities so that the folks can look at some of this stuff drilled down in a little bit more detail with more time than I have today. For all of you to be able to look at this a little bit, we've listed all of the current 74 work efforts. They're on the community wiki. You can either access them through the current PDF links, or you can just go directly to the SOACE tab of the community wiki and be able to look through the information that's displayed in each one. Again, this is we're still at the testing mode here. The information has all been reviewed with the staff who are responsible for your individual communities. But I think, as some of you noted, wow, we didn't list this item. We didn't list that item. This work effort or that work effort. Those are things we want to test out because ultimately the value of this is in the input. The more input we can get about different activities, the better. I want to chat about one quick aspect of the categories that we had gathered in terms of the information, and I'm stepping back a slide here, is the second bullet item on that sheet talks about the type of work effort, life cycle or ongoing. That's an important distinction we've identified because if it's a life cycle activity, it's something that's somewhat temporary. It might be a policy development process that takes a year or 18 months. It might be a task force or a work team that's drafting a document that might have a six-month window. But when we talk about ongoing, we're talking about other work that you are all responsible for. That's just the running of the GNSO Council or your individual executive committee. There's your time that's involved in that. There's your XCOM members' time in that. There's staff time. So we wanted to make sure when we talked about work effort, we weren't just talking about individual projects, but potentially about things that otherwise you might otherwise call overhead, but take up a considerable period of time and a lot of effort and resources. So again, we're looking at this from a database management perspective. As you can see there, we're breaking things up via the different categories. I throw up this slide just to encourage you all to give us some feedback down the road to see how we might order the categories, what types of data that you'd like to collect, or whether other information you'd like us to be in slicing and dicing for you. I can't imagine that we've got it all right. I know that there are areas that we're experimenting with now that we won't honor in the future, but that's all something that we can look forward to. I'm going to flip through these last two slides and just get to the next steps. What we're going to do is follow up with you all, I hope, in terms of you giving us feedback, perhaps us talking at the Marrakesh meeting. As I said, a number of you already shared some really helpful emails, and I'll address those individually with you all. But some great suggestions already in terms of information collection and the rest. For those of you who haven't responded, please do. That would be helpful. We're getting staff feedback as well because the amount of time it takes for them to generate some of this work. And I'm hopeful that we'll have some time to talk in Marrakesh during your Friday meeting to get some additional details because our intention is a full-blown post-Marrakesh snapshot involves all of your feedback and is the next version of this document. David, I'll quickly, in about 30 seconds, talk about document production support, and then if anyone wants to stick around for questions, or I'll just answer them separately in direct emails, is that the document production support effort was something that actually Elisa Cooper raised back at the Singapore meeting that both Fadi and David embraced and devoted resources to in the FY16 budget. David shared with you all an update on that information. And basically what we're looking for at this point is for those of you who have interest in this pilot effort to please fill out the questionnaire that David sent with you. And perhaps on a future call we can do an update in terms of where all that stands. But if any of you are interested in potentially taking advantage of that effort during the pilot period from March to June, we would really like to get your feedback and get you signed up for it. We've got a limitation of probably only about 8 groups who might be able to take advantage of the pilot effort, but I'm hopeful that it's something that we'll be able to continue in the future. I'll stop there, David, noting that we're out of time, and thanks for the opportunity to share with you all.
Thank you, Rob. Are there any comments or questions? Though we did see some comments in the chat from Patrick and Glenn McKnight, and even though I have sent some notes to you, I know your inboxes are rather busy, and I will make sure I resend a lot of that information to you. Any other comments or questions? We will get back to you on that. Allow me just quickly to recap. We thank everyone for your time, and particularly we wanted to welcome new chairs to this group and our activities. We'd like to thank Fadi for his review of his current work, working on the FY17 budget, KPI dashboard, as well as the NTIA transition and the CEO transition. And, of course, we'll want to make sure that any meetings in Marrakesh with the new CEO will not be conflicted and will have a planned and programmed approach to it. For you. We'd like to thank you also for sharing your views on and those of your groups concerning security for ICANN 55 and, as noted by Nick Tommaso, the enhanced security and monitoring and cooperation measures that are taking place not only for just ICANN 55 but going forward. And we will, of course, share information with you. As Fadi noted, ICANN will do everything we can for security now and, of course, going forward.
We also would like to know concerning the ICANN 55 that we will adjust the time of the informal roundtable and dinner to not conflict with the CCWG. We will look to possibly postponing that Monday session for the SOAC special topic until the next time, considering the scheduling and to avoid further conflicts for you. Noting Steve Crocker's email to you about a Monday afternoon public forum, we'll be happy to assist you in your short updates on the hot topics that your groups are dealing with. Again, we hope you will allow some time to talk with Chris Mundini and his team on the stakeholder journey. That's an important element of moving forward, and also with Rob in terms of his discussion on the activities matrix and how it helps you to manage your group's involvement in activity in ICANN and to address the workload issues as well, and the document production project that might be a policy plus for some of your groups as we move forward. With that, we will resume a lot of these discussions in Marrakesh with you. We thank you for the time spent, and I just wanted to provide that quick summary. We will send you the link to the SOAC wiki page that will have all the slides, documentation, transcripts, and recordings, so it's one easy one-stop shop for you, including the picture photos of the new SOAC RALO stakeholder and constituency chair leads. With that, I thank you for the extra time to address the important issues as we move forward to ICANN 55, and our work continues. And with that, I wish everyone a good evening, good afternoon, or good morning, wherever you may be, and you'll be hearing more from me in the next day or two. Thank you so much.